What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. The Hero RB draft strategy is the most optimal draft strategy in fantasy football drafts this year. We're going to start this off with a hot take because it should be evident by the time this video is done that this strategy is universally applicable to all league formats. We broke down Zero RB a couple days ago. We're going to talk about Double Hero RB pretty soon here. And these draft strategy videos are basically meant to inform and guide you guys in your fantasy draft. So if you get some value from this video, leave a like, subscribe if you're new around here, comment down below what you thought of the video, what you think of the strategy. We're going to get right into this. Structure of the video basically is that we're going to define Hero RB and why it can be effective. We're going to talk about the running back dead zone, kind of how it's changed over the year, specifically in 2024, when to use Hero RB, so the league types and scoring formats that it's applicable to. And like I said, this one's definitely more universally applicable than Zero RB is. And then finally, we're going to demonstrate Hero RB by picking from the 3 slot and the 7 spot in a sleeper mock draft at the end of this video. So let's get right into it, Danny. We'll kick it off with the definition of Hero RB.
Yeah, for those of you that are new around here, again, we actually posted a video on the zero running back draft strategy on Monday. So after you're done watching that, you know, maybe grab some popcorn, check that video out because we did go about 35 minutes in depth. But the hero running back draft strategy is a modification of what we talked about, what we discussed in that zero running back draft strategy video, where in a zero, you draft zero running backs before round 7 to 8. Versus in a hero running back build, you would draft just one running back in that first 7 to 8 round stretch of your fantasy draft. The thesis of the hero running back draft strategy is that you are still stronger at every other position other than your league mates. You draft wide receivers through your flex. You get strong at the onesie positions, but you also have an anchor running back to be able to build around. We'll talk about in this video why having that anchor running back that has legitimate top end upside is crucial for winning your fantasy football leagues. And like you said, why we think the hero running back draft strategy is the premier strategy in 2024.
Yeah, because in league formats where you can start up to 5 wide receivers, you can still run a hero RB effectively, even if you're in a league format that's 3 wide receivers. There's a lot of strategy that goes into like zero RB. You kind of need to be in the perfect league setting for it, but hero RB is definitely more universally applicable. In a zero RB, you're looking to treat both your running back one and your running back two spots as the weakest on your roster to start the year. And you're taking late round swings, handcuffs, ambiguous backfields. We're still doing the same thing essentially in a hero RB. We're just doing it only with our RB2 slot, which means we're going to be slightly weaker at the flex positions than a true zero would be. Late round picks, ambiguous backfields. Again, think of guys like Devin Singletary last year. You picked up on the waiver wire. You drafted him super late. Gus Edwards last year. Obviously, the nuts is that you get Kyren Williams and guys like that. But even Devin Singletary, Gus Edwards type of guys are going to get you by if the rest of your team is an absolute monster, elite quarterback, elite tight end, 4 or 5 elite wide receivers, however many you could start on a given league. Ideal roster constructions, as I kind of alluded to already, is for a hero RB, you want to start with one more wide receiver than you can reasonably start. So if you're in a 2 wide receiver, 2 flex league, you want to have 5 wide receivers probably through the first 8 or 9 rounds, an elite tight end, an elite quarterback, taking shots then after round 9, round 10, round 11, and so on handcuffs, on rookies, on pass catchers, ambiguous backfield situations. The reason we want to be light on running backs and the whole reasoning behind zero RB and hero RB and all these draft strategies is because running backs get injured and bust at a higher rate than wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends do. As you can see, serious injury chance of a top 20 running back in ADP, 19.44%. Games missed on average, 3 games. Versus wide receiver, you got 1.82 games on average, 11% chance that they suffer a serious injury. And this is going to be a precursor to tomorrow's video because I go in depth on this, but You can also pick your hero running back based on their archetype as well. I label all the running backs since 2015 as either breakout candidates, meaning they haven't been elite fantasy running backs before, top three or first three seasons of their NFL careers, veteran running backs, they're older than 26, running backs in their prime, they've already finished as an RB1, or they're between the age of like 23 to 26 as well. So when you're betting on, say, breakout candidates, as you can see in the chart here, you're returning on an ADP more than a veteran running back, which is how you want to go about selecting your hero running back. But essentially, the takeaway here is that when you combine all of the disappointment levels, either the get injured rate, which was 18%, 18.33, the bust rate, which means they just lost a bunch of ADP because they were terrible, 20%, and the just fine rate, which basically is like they didn't kill you, but they were kind of a silent killer where they weren't quite as good as you thought they were going to be when you drafted them. You add all those together and there was no overlap between them. You get 61% of the time you were disappointed with your early round running back. So again, be careful when selecting which hero you're going after, because there's a lot of bad picks in the running back position in the early rounds.
Yeah. And I think new fantasy players sometimes hear, you know, all of these strategies and don't know when to start drafting running backs. You'll see a lot of people say, hey, I'm drafting a hero running back team. I'm drafting a zero running back team, and they'll fade the position, you know, the first few rounds and then automatically go four rounds in a row between rounds 5 and 8 of straight running backs. That is the way not to draft a hero or a zero running back strategy. It basically means, hey, like, you understand the opportunity cost of the position. You understand the risk factors. Again, 61% of the time you were left unsatisfied with your pick. And you're understanding that the overall hit rates between running back and wide receiver, as you get through rounds 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of your drafts, tend to favor the wide receiver position. But as we get to, again, all the data is pointing to the fact that maybe we should just keep drafting wide receivers. But there is a significant reason why, if you do draft a running back, you need them to have top end level upside to win your league.
Yeah, and exactly. And the other major component of hero running back is that you take your hero running back, presumably in rounds 1, 2, or 3 or something like that, bypassing the running back dead zone, during which time you're going to be hammering wide receivers, hammering quarterbacks, hammering tight ends, get yourself the elite, like the elite onesies, and then also fill out your wide receivers through your flex. And the reason we do that is because the hit rate of dead zone running backs is low, 35% since the year 2015. Now, it did spike last year at 50%, but it looks to be a bit of an outlier. But again, we also have to factor in that last year was really the first year that the dead zone running backs were really, really undervalued. And me and Danny did an entire video on dead zone running backs, which ones are not dead zone profiles, which ones are bet zone profiles. So definitely check that out in terms of like micro player takes. But essentially, the data still holds up. We don't want dead zone running backs, essentially. And as I said, you don't necessarily have to get your hero in round one. It doesn't have to be your first pick, and then you hammer out the rest of the positions. You can get it round 2. You can get it round 3. Hell, if you love a dead zone profile so much that you don't think they should be going in the dead zone, last year, it would have been a profitable strategy to run a hero RB and use your hero spot on Rashad White, or use your hero spot on James Cook, or use your hero spot on Isaiah Pacheco or Alvin Kamara, one of the dead zone running backs, quote unquote, by ADP that ended up hitting. So I outlined kind of the low floor and high risk level of why you don't want to draft a lot of running backs. You want to take one hero in this strategy, but why would we draft a running back, period? Is when the data is so far against it, why are we drafting a running back, period, Danny?
Yeah, and the reason why we are still drafting running backs, we are still wanting that hero running back to anchor our build, is that if we follow the same basic principles of the zero running back draft strategy, but try to get access to a profile that can legitimately win our leagues, that has legitimate legendary upside. While the running backs as a whole, like you said, both bust more and have the same league winner rate as the wide receiver position, we draft running backs early to get access to legendary upside, a term coined by Pat Corain himself. He actually did a study across the last couple of years. I mean, we've referenced this exact study in the past on this channel, but specifically the reason why we want to draft this hero running back is that you want a player that can flat out have a 20%+ win rate on your team. We want access to the running backs that can break fantasy football as a whole without the opportunity cost of sending, you know, multiple redundant shots at the dead zone to this position. Again, when you're taking a lot of these profiles in the past, historically in the dead zone, you're kind of accepting that it felt safe. You wanted to fill your running back position without also getting that added advantage of a running back that can absolute crush. And when we're looking at the overall data, like you guys can see, for a league winner at running back and wide receiver, across the board, the wide receiver position actually has more league winners. Round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4, round 5, and round 6, all having a higher graph total than the running back position on that graphic. However, once you isolate to players with over a 20% win rate, The running back position, like you can see, is dominated with those high-end profiles, especially in rounds 1, 2, and 3. Historically, that has been the spot where you do get your league winner running backs. However, like we'll talk about this year, we do think that that can apply even closer to the round 4, 5, 6 range, because quite simply, the old round 3 profiles we were taking in round 3 are going much further down the board in the market right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about this when we get into the mock draft, but a lot of you guys commented on the zero running back video and said, hey, I tried to run a zero running back last year. I took 3 straight wide receivers, and then I grabbed, you know, 2 running backs round 4 and round 5 or whatever, and I took Miles Sanders and Alexander Mattison. It's like, that's exactly what not to do in a zero running back. That's exactly what not to do if you only taken one of those guys in a hero running back. You're not swinging for a median projection. You're not swinging for a good touch workload. You're favoring the wide receiver projections early and taking one swing on an elite projection running back early on in the draft because you're hunting for the nuts. You're hunting for that 20% win rate. You're hunting even potentially, like, you would have been very comfortable doing a hero running back last year if Jahmyr Gibbs was your hero. He didn't have a legendary win rate, but he still had a 16% win rate, and you would have been in a good spot there. 2017 Todd Gurley, 2019 Christian McCaffrey, 2020 Kamara, 2023 last year Christian McCaffrey. That's what you're trying to hit on with your hero running back. And then the rest of your roster will bring up the baseline point projection of your team on a week over week basis. And then, like we said, we cycle running back 2s throughout the entire year.
Yeah. The common mistake that people have, like you said, in the dead zone is going for the floor of the position. But as you outline with the data, the floor is objectively lower at running back than it is at wide receiver, even though it doesn't feel that way, because when you're drafting a secure workload, you almost feel safe when you're doing it. You want to be drafting running backs based off their ceiling projectable outcome. And like we can see here, last year, we did see 2 league winning running backs actually being selected at opposite ends of the board. Christian McCaffrey going as a top 3 overall pick. Kyren Williams going undrafted or in the last round of a lot of your drafts, paying off at league winner 20%+ win rate percentage. We also saw 7 league winning running backs compared to 12 league winning wide receivers. So like you guys can see, wide receivers hit league winner status far more often than the running back position, 12-7. But the only 2 players that were able to hit legendary upside, both came at the running back position with the 220+ point per game scorers. The difference from most years is that we did see 5 of these prototypical dead zone running backs actually be able to hit league winner status. Again, this was an area of the draft that we typically didn't see league winners be selected, because quite frankly, when you were drafting a running back at that pick, their projection wasn't as fruitful as it is nowadays. And like we saw last year, guys like, for example, James Cook, Travis Etienne, Rashad White, Jahmyr Gibbs, Alvin Kamara, they all fit the dead zone prototypical definition going between rounds 3 and 7, but they all paid off at a +13% win rate. Again, if you guys are curious, when we mentioned the term win rate, when we mentioned the term, you know, 13%, 20%, on average, when there's 12 people in your league draft, your expected win rate is 8.3%. So 10% would be, you know, a solid play. Again, we classify league winner as 13%+. And obviously, if you have a 20%+ win rate, you're nearly 3 times more likely to win your league based off the presence of one player. And we saw that last year on display, like I said, with both Christian McCaffrey and Kyren Williams. If you can get one player that basically 3x's your chances of winning your league, that is the profile we need to scout after while we're drafting running backs.
Yeah, and I think the perception of hero RB is definitely less contentious than zero RB, because a lot of people don't want to draft no running backs, because people recognize the universally, like, known principle that running backs have a super high ceiling if you hit on one big. If you hit on 2019 Christian McCaffrey, like, that is, you can't get that at wide receiver. Like, it doesn't exist. In the zero RB video, we did talk about using zero RB as a tool in your toolbox, something that you can pivot to if the best player available through 6-7 rounds of your draft is never a running back, because everybody is drafting running back super highly in your room. But hero running back, there's a good chance within the first 6-7 rounds, you're going to have one decent running back value fall to you, which is why we think hero RB is used pretty much universally valuable in every type of room. It will definitely be more effective if everyone in your league is running back thirsty, leaving you mainly good values at wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end to slide to you. But you can deploy it in more sharp leagues. I've been deploying it a lot in underdog drafts because there is running backs, you know, falling such that you can get a really good value in round 3 and round 4 and round 5, or even if you just want a good value in the first or the second round. But scoring format wise, hero RB is definitely more universally applicable. In zero RB, you virtually can't run it in a 2 wide receiver, 2-1 flex standard league. It's not even effective. You can't run a zero RB in that type of format. but you could run a Hero RB in that format. Hero RB is definitely more effective when you run it in a full PPR league where you can start, for example, three wide receivers, two flexes. Maybe you have tight end premiums. Maybe it's a super flex league. Rule of thumb is essentially any league format where you can gain an advantage by your RB2 being the weakest position on your roster. That's the best league formats to run Hero RB in. So if you can start two quarterbacks, two tight end premiums, five wide receivers, those are the types of formats that are best for a Hero RB draft strategy. But it's still very effective in a two wide receiver, two flex, full PPR league, which I'm sure a lot of you guys kind of play in those type of formats too.
For sure. And we've kind of been alluding to this all video where historical hit rates would suggest that you typically want to grab your hero running back in the first three rounds. But when we're applying this to 2024, I actually think you can modify your hero running back to include a running back drafted in the fourth round or potentially even the fifth round as your hero. Specifically on Underdog, we see, you know, guys like Etienne, Cook, Pacheco, you know, Josh Jacobs, all going later than the third round that typically speaking, in most draft rooms in past years, would be top 24 overall picks, would be top 30 overall picks. And once you get to round three, round four, and you could take a running back profile that you can see reaching top three, top five overall status at the position, I do think they are a worthwhile bet. Again, you can legitimately start a hero running back, modified hero running back build this year of Tyreek Hill at the 103, Brandon Ayuk at the 210, Nico Collins at the 303, and then wrap back around at the 410 and get a guy like James Cook. Again, you're still fitting the criteria of a hero running back build because you do have a running back in James Cook attached to that offense with legitimate upside, but except you're doing it at a fourth round opportunity cost rather than even the top two rounds that we've seen historically. Again, we want to treat the running back position by drafting their ceiling. I just feel like the market as a whole, guys that would be typically going in the top 24 are falling further and further and further as people have more wide receiver thirst.
Yeah, I think the misconception about, okay, wide receivers are going higher now, which means we should be drafting a lot of running backs. It's like, no, you should still be following the principles of like, you should only draft one or two running backs through the first seven or eight rounds. The only difference now is that you don't have to draft that running back in round one. You can draft him in round three or you can draft him in round four. You're still taking advantage of the fact that wide receivers are pushed up the board. It's just that you're passing on suboptimal wide receiver projections in round four or five because wide receivers are going higher for better running back projections who, like you said, the most important part of all this is they'd be going in round two or round three, 3 years ago. And you can see an example of a draft that you and I were in here. You ran a hero RB by starting with CeeDee Lamb, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and you grab your hero with Isaiah Pacheco. I was picking one pick after you. I ran a double hero RB with Achane and with Travis Etienne, but essentially focusing on your team, this is how you can execute a hero RB in like sharper draft rooms where you just pound out. You have a tiebreaker in the early rounds. You go wide receiver because they project a little bit better. They don't get injured as often, so on and so forth. And you get to take advantage of the good value you're getting at running back rounds three, rounds four, which is very unique to this year, as we talked about.
Yeah, like I'm still getting my anchor with Pacheco. Obviously, instead of having to do it in the first two rounds, I do actually wait to round four, a guy that in most home leagues, I'd be comfortable taking on that 2-3 turn. So I do like the value there of Isaiah Pacheco. Get an elite onesie there with Trey McBride. Get my stacking option there, CJ Stroud paired with Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. Again, normal managed league, I would actually almost swap where I took Pacheco and Diggs, but specifically on Underdog, knowing the wide receiver position, knowing that I wanted to fill my correlation there with CJ Stroud and Nico Collins, I got another piece to that stack. So that would be your modified hero running back. I also did just a bog standard hero from the 112 spot, was able to grab Jahmyr Gibbs there, pair him with Marvin Harrison Jr., do end up getting the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce stack. And then there, instead of taking another running back within my next two picks that some may fall into the trap of, grab two wide receivers, Xavier Worthy stacking with my Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, Rome Odunze, a young wide receiver, rookie receiver I also really believe in, and still being able to get five wide receivers in the first 10 rounds.
Yeah, exactly. And you're able to land the plane on both of these teams. Obviously, with that Pacheco team, you're able to grab up James Conner, early projection in the year, right? Chase Brown, upside swing. Austin Eckler, early projection. Chuba Hubbard, early projection. Khalil Hubbard, upside swing. You just mix up the type of archetypes you're grabbing at the running back position. And they're going to, like in best ball, obviously, it's easy to just aggregate RB2 production. But even in a managed league, you probably know week over week, one of the guys that's like a half decent start based on their matchup and things of that nature. So we went through a lot of theory. We're going to get into a mock draft ourselves and break down exactly how a hero RB looks in real time. So let's get right into that. All right. So we are now into the mock draft. And again, the scoring format's at the top here. It's a two wide receiver, two running back, two flex, full PPR. The more starting spots you have in your roster, the better hero RB is going to work. If you have a super flex league, if you have tight end premiums, if you have three flexes or four flexes or three wide receiver and two flexes, Hero RB and Zero RB are going to be more effective. But today we're going to go with probably more of a universal kind of scoring format that a lot of you guys play in. So I'm going to be operating from the three hole with the assumption here that Christian McCaffrey will not be on the board, which he's not. And I end up getting CeeDee Lamb here at the 103. CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, to me, throw them in a hat. They're both like very worthy of even going 101. So at 103, I'm ecstatic to get either of them here. And I am going to basically operate a hero RB in which I don't actually get a hero until the second or the third round. I'm not operating a traditional hero RB because, like we said, this year uniquely, you can get some pretty good values on running backs in the second, third, and potentially fourth round.
Yeah, so Corey's going to be doing a modified hero running back, and I'll just be doing your bog standard hero because I do view at the top of the board here with all those wide receivers, Amon-Ra, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill being off the board, that my running back position would actually be my two highest rated players. Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall would be my 107 and 108 respectively. I do have Breece Hall slightly ahead at this point, so I will take him 107, but if you prefer Bijan Robinson, I also think he's a very worthwhile pick there.
Yeah, exactly. And you started a little bit of a running back run there. Hopefully Garrett doesn't fall back to you because you'd have to be double jets there. But yeah, like you're doing the traditional, get your hero early, get the legendary upside guy with Breece Hall. Like I said, I'm going to kind of feel out the board a little bit more and see kind of what comes to me.
For sure. Now I'm back on the clock here. And contrary to belief, no, this pick will not actually be Sam Laporta. I think he's actually a little too high in the sleeper ADP. It's going to be my next rated player here with Nico Collins. So comfortable there. Breece Hall, Nico Collins in my first two picks. Feel really good about that.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't take Drake London over Nico. That's the micro difference between the two of us. But as always, if you guys do want our micro player takes, we do have our draft guide live right now, and you can deposit $10 on Underdog Fantasy to get it for free, or you can head on over to flockfantasy.com using code FSE. You'll get access to our draft guide as well. So I'm back on the clock. Achan would have definitely been in consideration for me, knowing I could have, you know, anchored my running back core with him. But he goes off the board, and I think there's not a huge difference between Etienne, Pacheco, Kyren Williams, some of the guys. I mean, Kyren already went off the board, but Etienne and Pacheco, I feel confident I should be able to get in round three, potentially not able to. Then I'll be really doing a modified hero RB if that is the case. But my highest rated player is Brandon Ayuk, so I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk and hope that one of these running backs falls back to me. And it looks like Pacheco does, so that feels good. Again, looking at the board, based on my like overall rankings, Jalen Waddle and Pacheco, I believe, are my two highest rated players. But again, I'm trying to operate a hero RB. And also too, like, you guys all feel this when you're in a fantasy draft and you're on the board, you got two wide receivers already. You start to feel the itch that you need a running back. So when you're in that situation, you should use it as a tiebreaker, not as a reach. You don't want to reach on a running back, but to me, Pacheco and Jalen Waddle, who are my two highest rated players, are within the same tier. So I'm going to favor the guy that I need more, which is the running back position right now. So I'll grab Pacheco. He is going to be my hero. Again, I'm operating a very modified version of the strategy, like I said, because I know I can get guys like Pacheco later on in the drafts, or even potentially James Cook on the 411 or the 410 on my way back. It makes it easier to operate a hero RB knowing I don't have to get my hero round one or even round two.
100%. And you can make the case for another wide receiver here. I also think the position I'm actually going to lean here is at tight end, because Travis Kelce is my tight end one, managed league format, full PPR. I do want to get that advantage at tight end, especially knowing that, again, you got to understand your room. On Underdog, would I take Travis Kelce over some of these wide receivers? Absolutely not. But in a sleeper ADP, knowing that there's values, like, for example, if we're looking down the board, Malik Nabers may fall back to that fourth round area, knowing where he goes on these drafts. Cooper Kupp, 42 overall ADP. DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Zay Flowers. A lot of wide receivers that would go in the third round of Underdog drafts, but are falling because of the running back valuation in sleepers. So for me, I'm actually going to grab Travis Kelce here and see what wide receiver falls back.
Yeah, and with any of these draft strategies, it is very important to understand how your league mates are going to operate, generally speaking. Like, are you in a room where people are going to draft running backs heavily? Are you in a room where wide receivers go up the board? And also, like I said in the beginning portion of this video, the scoring settings will factor in as well. Because if you're in a tight end premium league, you know, Kelce at the 3.7 is probably not going to happen for you. Like, yeah. And if it does, you run to the podium like you kind of did there. So I'm back on the clock. I think a lot of things stick out as potentially good values to me here. I love my two anchor wide receivers so much that I might do something a little rare here and take two onesies in a row, because I think, and I broke this down in the league winning wide receivers video, is that like there is a relatively flat tier of wide receivers here that I don't really have a ton of conviction of one guy over the other. I can paint a picture that Zay Flowers is great this year. I can paint a picture that Tank Dell is great this year. George Pickens is great. T. Higgins is great. Amari Cooper is great. There's not a huge difference between these guys. And also, more importantly, the guys that I'm going to get the 6'10", I actually don't think are all that different from these guys as well. But I do think there's a tier break on the board at quarterback for me. So I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes. I basically have all of the touchdown equity of the Kansas City Chiefs offense right now on my team. So I'm going to just roll with those two guys. I know they're technically kind of negatively correlated, but it's an offense that's so good that I don't really care. To be honest, so
I will add to that quick. On a weekly basis, I would agree with the negative correlation, but in terms of an overall 17 game sample size that we're working with, you're consolidating your bet that the Chiefs offense will be better, very good, and that all the players associated with it will be, you know, big time ceiling players. So on across a full 17 game sample size, I actually do think there's positive correlation there, but of course the weekly ceiling, if you will, would actually be negated or negative.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm back on the clock, and this is one thing that I talk about a lot in the like risk ratings video that I did last year, is when you look at your roster to this point of like a 3-4, when you're in the round 4, round 5 range, you should really keep an eye on which offenses you've invested in. How good are the offenses that you've invested in? And mine are very good, right? You got the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Chiefs. So when you're making deviations into offenses that might be a little bit more risky, a little bit more suboptimal, you don't want to start your draft with like 4 offenses that suck and then take an offense in round 5 who you don't really believe in either. If you're going to deviate out of drafting players who are in good offenses, you probably only want to do it like 1 or 2 times max by like the 5th or 6th round. So I'm on the board here. I'm going to take an elite tight end. And even though Dalton Kincaid and Pitts, you could kind of throw them in a hat, knowing that I already have the safety of these great offenses, I'm going to take a little bit more of a risk here with Kyle Pitts. Ooh. Because his offense, in theory, projects worse than the Buffalo Bills, who have Josh Allen. But as we've talked about on numerous occasions, we believe that this Falcons offense will take a big step forward with the new quarterback upgrade, the new offensive coordinator throwing the ball a ton more. So again, micro player takes not really that important here. You could go Kincaid very easily, but I believe that Pitts actually has the higher ceiling because he's the more proven player to this point in his career to Kincaid. And both guys have the upside to be top 2 targets, great offenses, big plays, things of that nature. So I go with the elite onesie there with Pitts.
Yeah. And speaking of keeping up, I mean, I guess you could say that the Breece Hall New York Jets is probably a little bit of a risky offense because of the health of Aaron Rodgers, but assuming Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I do think I have all good offenses on my team. I'm actually going to keep adding to that because I do think T. Higgins in the 5th round is a good bet. You can make the case between, you know, Pickens, Higgins, Cooper would be the top 3 names on my board. I'll go T. Higgins. You know what? I'm yapping a lot because they are just very close projections overall.
Yeah, which is precisely the reason I went with quarterback and tight end there, is because I viewed a difference of the tight end and quarterback because there's not a huge difference between T. Higgins and some of the other wide receivers there. So that's like, I talked about this in the league winning wide receivers video as well. It's like, I want to get 2 wide receivers through the first 3 rounds because I view those guys as like a significant edge over the rest of the wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, Christian Kirk falling back to me here is also pretty damn money. A guy that's going in the 4th round of underdog drafts and a guy that, like I said, I have upside with my top 3 wide receivers. I do get a little bit more safety there if you're with Christian Kirk. Assuming he's healthy, he should be a pretty much locked and loaded top 24 receiver.
Yeah, and I'm at a point now on the clock where I can just kind of hammer out wide receiver values because I do still need, like, ideally in a hero RB, as we talked about, you want to fill wide receivers through your flex spots and probably leave with 5 wide receivers if you can start up to 4, or 4 wide receivers if you can start up to 3. Stacking option, right? Let's just keep consolidating with the Kansas City Chiefs here. Which one do I want here? Let's go Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy. I could go in either direction. Again, I feel pretty confident that I have a safe projection at most other positions, and I can handle getting by for a couple games if Rashee Rice were to be suspended. So I'm going to grab Rashee Rice here. I got 3 Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody's ever going to complain about that on their fantasy football roster. So I'm back on the clock here. Now, knowing that I did take a bit of a risk with Rashee Rice, I'm going to go with somebody who's got a little bit more of a solidified role with Calvin Ridley, who now that DeAndre Hopkins is banged up, I expect that offense to maybe take a step forward this year. I expect that Calvin Ridley should be able to command a lot of targets, especially if Hopkins is going to miss some time. So for me, with those 4 guys, I have potentially 4 number 1 wide receivers as well. And then the Titans are, the worst offense of the teams that I've drafted so far. But I do think there's a chance that they're going to be pass heavy and maybe a little bit better than people think.
Yeah, and looking at the wide receiver position, again, I view it as a relatively flat tier. Hopefully, DeAndre Hopkins is off the board by my next pick, so I don't have to make that, obviously, with the knee injury coming for an older player. But between McConkey, Hopkins, Deontay, Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas, JSN, you know, those names in particular, I can play the game that one of them gets back to me, or I can just take one of them there, knowing that, again, Kyler Murray is my clear top quarterback, but potentially a guy like Jordan Love could fall back. That would be a decision point you can make in a draft. For me personally, I do think it's unlikely that one of those seven names at wide receiver do make it back. So I will take JSN here and hope I'm able to get a quarterback on the way back.
Yeah, we'll make one more selection and then we'll kind of skip to the end of the draft after we filled out our running back cores. We are now officially out of the running back dead zone, as we talked about. And in fact, rounds 8 to 10 historically has actually produced better win rates than the running back dead zone, which is something I talked about in the zero RB video. And the reason for that is because you're outside of the range where you're passing on elite wide receiver projections and elite quarterback projections, elite tight end projections. Like when you're looking at the board right now and you're thinking, okay, do I go with a running back over Jordan Love, who I like? He's not a top five quarterback, though, or over DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnson at wide receiver. You're talking wide receiver three, probably, production with those guys. And then at tight end, David Njoku, I really like. Jake Ferguson, I really like. But they're not top five tight ends this year, most likely. So if you're going to deviate back to the running back position, you got to make sure that the other position groups are not loaded with studs.
Had Jonathan Brooks fallen back to me, I would have just taken the running back there. But knowing, like I said, Jordan Love is a tier break, I have a quarterback, I will be taking the quarterback here because I do view the rest of the running back position with Jonathan Brooks off the board being relatively even keel.
Yep. So I'm going to make this final pick and then we'll kind of skip to the end of what we've done here. I'm going to make my RB2 somebody with an extremely high ceiling, because this is also how you get back in phase at the running back position. Because when you go with the hero RB, you're going to be weaker at RB2 than most of your league mates. Like, for example, team one took ETN, Mixon, and Kenneth Walker. Like, he's going to be way stronger at RB2 than I am, but I am way stronger at most of the other positions than he is. Exactly. But the way to get back up to speed is to take a high ceiling swing like Jaylen Warren, who I think has a monster ceiling this year and could be a league winning running back.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very sharp pick, but we're going to sim to the end of the draft and you guys can kind of see how we landed the plane.
All right, so we are now into the end of the draft. Again, we're going to show you guys how we landed the plane, why we think Hero RB is one of the best strategies this year is because of, I'll kind of go over my team here. You get those anchor wide receivers, you get yourself a Hero RB swing on Isaiah Pacheco, who I talked about in the league winning running backs video as a guy that I think really does have that ceiling. You get your elite onesies with Mahomes and Pitts. You fill out your wide receiver core with good depth to fill through the flex, because Rashee Rice, Calvin Ridley, and Deontay Johnson most likely are going to end up being my flexes. I wish I got a little bit better in my flexes than usual there, but I think if Rice and Ridley can hit for me, I'll be just fine. And then at running back, you fill out with differing archetypes, right? Jaylen Warren, high ceiling, ambiguous backfield running back with a potential lot of volume. Brian Robinson, more of your bog standard, safe early season play. Zach Charbonnet, obviously super high ceiling if Kenneth Walker goes down. Ty Chandler and Audric Estime, more kind of ambiguous backfield dudes. And I do take one more swing on Josh Downs. Again, it's important too that in hero and zero RB builds, you get these elite onesies, because I don't want to waste bullets drafting two tight ends or two quarterbacks. If I get Mahomes and Pitts, I'm done at those positions. I'm not drafting more quarterbacks, more tight ends, because guess what? If I miss on Mahomes or Pitts, my team's probably dead in the water anyways, and I'll stream the quarterback or stream the tight end position off of the waiver wire. It's not really going to make sense for me to draft Jared Goff in addition to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and the same thing pretty much applies to my team there. I obviously got my anchor running back there, my hero with Breece Hall at the 107. Do fill out basically in the next, what is that, 8 picks with wide receivers and onesies there. Travis Kelce and Jordan Love being the onesies. Filling out that wide receiver depth with Nico, Kupp, Higgins, Kirk, JSN, Brian Thomas, etc. So fill out my wide receiver depth as a whole. And like you said, make sure I only have to invest one spot at my quarterback and tight end positions. And then from 10th round on, I mean, we're really just drafting upside running back profiles that could potentially work into my lineup. Chase Brown obviously has been getting a lot of work with the Bengals Force team, has some upside there. Same thing with Rico Dowdle, J.K. Dobbins, big time upside. Marshawn Lloyd, Tyrone Tracy also apply to that as well. So in terms of the early season, I would say Breece Hall accompanied by one of Brown or Dowdle for the immediate workload would be my starters. And then potentially working into my lineup week 3, week 4, week 5. We're talking about some of those upside swings as well. So love how we landed the plane at running back respectively.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest part about a hero RB or a zero RB is getting your running back production early in the season. And if you have, like, if one of these guys hit big for you and you clearly have your RB2 for the foreseeable future, you're still going to be churning the waiver wire, which with ever one of these guys didn't work out, and trying to pick up this year's Devin Singletary, this year's Gus Edwards, this year's, obviously, Kyren if it becomes available. So that's kind of what you're going to be doing there. I also wanted to point out that Team 6 did kind of a similar build to me of, like, this modified hero where he gets James Cook as his hero, and then starts hammering out, you know, Javonte Williams and stuff, minus the Trevor Lawrence pick. I actually think he executed this pretty well the sleeper AI here. And then team nine kind of operated a very similar one to you. We would not take Jonathan Taylor in the first round, but
no.
The essential idea here is that he did kind of also build out a hero RB, just not a very good one. So yeah, that is the end of the draft. Again, that is the end of the video as well. Hopefully you guys did get some value from this. I feel like we kind of went in depth on the hero RB strategy. As I said at the beginning of the video, I believe this is the most optimal strategy this year across all league formats. If you guys are doing underdog fantasy drafts, drafting best ball teams, trying to take down Best Ball Mania 5 and win $1.5 million to first place, which of course you can sign up for using code FSE, this is an optimal strategy. You can get a hero early, you can get a hero in the mid rounds and continue to pound out wide receivers, quarterback, and tight end. Or if you're in a home league and a lot of your league mates are over drafting running backs and you get one good running back value that falls to you, maybe it's with your first pick, maybe it's with your second pick, maybe it's with your third pick, you're going to catch the end of a tier break probably with one of your first couple of picks. You can get your hero, continue to pound out wide receivers, an elite quarterback, an elite tight end in the mid rounds, and basically draft teams very similar to the ones that we drafted in this kind of like home league style league market. So if you guys enjoyed the video at any point, leave a like, comment down below any of your thoughts, subscribe if you're new around here. To get our draft guide, hit the link in the description down below, in the pinned comment down below. Sign up on Underdog, get it for free, deposit $10 using code FSE, and you're totally good there.
Yep, we covered, obviously, like we've alluded to in this video, Zero 2 days ago when you're watching this, obviously Hero today. We will be dropping the double Hero running back draft strategy on Thursday, so make sure you stay tuned for that as well.
Yep, absolutely. So with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.